following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh yeah, welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week. And you know, the government shutdown's still on, isn't it? But I like it. And I know that, again, this sounds callous towards maybe people who are waiting on a paycheck and aren't getting any money. But I like the idea that we only have essential personnel working, right? I mean, I feel like we're lean, we're mean, we're strong. We've only got the necessary amount. We've cut the fat. We've cut the fat, and now we're just a more efficient machine, in my mind. Okay, now, again, I have an understanding that I don't completely know everything that's going on. Really, I don't. How are they paying? Do you? I mean, how are they paying essential personnel? If the government is shut down, okay, who's taking the money? Who's physically transferring that money from one person to another? And if they're able to do that amount, is it coming out of some reserve that we have in case of shutdowns? You know, where is that money coming from? Who is even keeping the lights on, I guess you could say, you know? But somebody has to be. The military is still protecting us. We still have, you know, you're still going to get your refunds. So how do they figure out who is going to stay on? And how are they paying them? What money? Where is that money coming from during a shutdown? I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. Do people who even work in government know? Are they just writing a check and they're cashing it obligingly? And, you know, no one's manning the accounts or whatever. No one's getting paid to look at it. I don't know how it works. But I do know that at this point anyway, my day-to-day operation is fine. And I realize it's a kind of a one-sided view that just because I'm fine doesn't mean that other people aren't fine. But I feel like we're in a good spot right now. You know, I like this. I mean, we say we're only employing essential personnel and non-essential personnel aren't getting paid. Well, if they're non-essential, I mean, again, you know, I don't have a complete understanding of things, but from a layman's perspective, if they're non-essential, doesn't that mean that we don't need them? Why do we have them? Get rid of them. If we don't need them, shoot, let me keep my money. Lower taxes, you know, reduce your spending, and get rid of non-essential personnel all the time. They're non-essential. God, you know, I'm sure some of you guys listening to this probably do work for the government, and you're like, this guy is just... But how does it feel? You work for the government, right? And right now you're not getting paid because you're non-essential. Does that make you feel good that you're non-essential? You are the non-essential personnel. You know, when a bar is having a slow night, they'll like send some of the employees home. That's you guys. Yeah, we're just here because the government can employ us, but you know, they don't really need us. We're just nice to have around sometimes, you know, to make the to pad the budget out. That doesn't hurt your pride, you know. Non-essential. I'll show you non-essential. I'll quit. I'm out of here. Again, I'm going to work somewhere where they need me. I'm just kidding, guys. I'm sure they need you to shuffle papers or whatever you do there. So let's talk about the little fight that they're having over the government shutdown. So, you know, Trump is trying to hold out for more money for his border wall. The Democrats did come up, I think, another $1.1 billion, something like that. So they have moved a little bit from what I read. But Nancy Pelosi, she a nasty woman, Nancy Pelosi, right? Held together by just grit. The body is no longer, willing, but just sheer determination is holding her frame together. She is the bare minimum of a functional human being. She is telling Trump that he is not invited this year to have the State of the Union because of the government shutdown. She says that they are not going to be able to keep him safe. And so they're going to have to cancel the State of the Union, although he is welcome. She turned back to the reporters who are asking, so he can't have the State of the Union. She turns around and says, hey, you can have it at the Oval Office. So in other words, they're not going to do that big deal where he goes to Congress, everyone's seated, generally Democrats and Republicans not next to each other, and they're on separate sides of the aisle, and then he just, gives a speech while one side ignores him and the other side cheers at every single thing that he says. So we're going to miss that debacle, I suppose. But so this press has spun this as Nancy Pelosi being, a real player, not bowing to Trump, not giving in to his demands, and just being really kind of applauding her trollishness. So they're glad. The press is happy that Nancy Pelosi has made this sort of childish power play against Donald Trump, saying, oh, you can't have the State of the Union then. I mean, just kind of bizarre how they're not reporting it, but they're kind of applauding her for doing it. I mean, doesn't that strike you as just like a dumb tactic to say, well, you can't have the State of the Union? Now, it's not true what she says about the security concerns. As a matter of fact, the director of Homeland Security wrote on her Twitter, we're perfectly able of keeping you secure. This is not true what she's saying. We have the ability and the staff to make sure that the president is secure for the State of the Union. So she's obviously just doing it to be, a jerk. And really, for her, jerk is not the first word to come to mind. But, I can only say so much on the air without them getting mad at me. So now Donald Trump comes back, and he's going, oh, you want to play games? I can play games, too. Let's play a game. And you want to say I can't do the State of the Union? Guess what? Your flight is canceled on the military transport that you were going to take. So they were going to go to Afghanistan and to Egypt and to Brussels. And Donald Trump said, well, because of the government shutdown, we can't really use the military to give you those flights. But if you want to, you can pay for it privately, of course. Kind of the same thing. So he just mirrored what she did. The press is very upset, predictably, with Donald Trump. Now they're saying that this is a childish playground antics. Oh, the big one that they got that they keep saying over and over. I've seen this on multiple news outlets. They're saying that Speaker Pelosi really got under his skin. Got under his skin. That's what they're saying. Like she's living in his head rent-free, right? That expression. So why is it when Pelosi does something crummy, they don't say, oh, he's really getting to her. She's reduced to doing these childish games because he's really getting under her skin. No. They say, oh, this is great. Trump thought he's the big dog, but he's not. But then when Trump does this, they're saying that she's getting under his skin. So they're trying to make it where she wins. No matter how things go, they always want to make it where Trump is the loser. But it seems like the harder the fight, the more that they lose. So we'll see where this goes. Now, the Democrats are going to overplay their hand, which they always do. They always do this. They go, oh, the people love this. The people love, we're winning. And then they milk it until it's so obvious that they're doing it politically that the public sentiment turns against them. And this is what's happening now. So Donald Trump has said that he is going to give, what was his concession here? Let me find this here. But basically, he's saying, look, let's make a deal. I get my $5.1 billion for the border wall, and I'm going to give you, amnesty, maybe, for the Dreamers. So they're going to make a deal on DACA, and he'll get the money for the wall, is what he wants. So here's this story. Democrats signal they'll reject an offer. Oh, and so already, he hadn't even made it at the time of this recording. He's gonna come out any second now and make this deal publicly. But the Democrats already have said that they're going to reject it. So what he was going to do is he's going to extend protections to the Dreamers, right? The children of illegal immigrants who technically you could ship back, right? But the thing is that they'd be shipped back to a place that they never knew, you know, didn't grow up in. And so I personally am not really against giving them amnesty, I guess you could call it, whatever you call it. And so I think that would be a good deal. Now, I don't know if I made this clear. I actually don't care for the wall. I think that you're not going to stop this immigration problem until you de-incentivize the reason that they're coming over here. You know, and you got to get rid of sanctuary cities, and you've got to make it where... I think we should lower the minimum wage. I know everyone's against that, but you know, you got to make it where they don't want to come here for free stuff. But anyway, Trump is going to give them protection. He's also going to propose extending the visas for temporary protection status holders. What else here? Probably some other things, right? So anyway, he's willing to cut a deal. The Democrats are already saying they're going to reject it, even before he's officially extended it. And what's going to happen is that the general public, who I think agrees that we should have protections for people who have grown up here in the U.S. and are basically, you know, U.S. citizens, in as far as their culture goes, and would want to keep them here. I think most people want to keep them here. So this is a good deal for him. And this is a good deal for the Democrats, because they can say that they got this passed, they reopened the government, but they're not going to take it. And they're really screwing themselves on this. And you watch, if Trump can hold out, you're going to see public sentiment turn against the Democrats. Even with all of the help that they have with the press, when people realize that the Democrats had this great deal that they've pretended to be fighting for so long, and now they have the opportunity to have it, all they got to do is give up a little bit of money. You know, American people know that $5.1 billion is nowadays a drop in the bucket. Okay? It's, look, I know. I know that's a lot of money. But I'm saying, in the overall scheme of the amount that we are spending every year, it's not that much to have for what the Democrats have been fighting for all of this time. It's worth it to them. Would I want to spend that money? No. Even deal or no deal, I don't want to spend money. I don't want the government to spend money. That's why I like the shutdown. But I'm saying, from the Democrats' point of view, this is a good flipping deal. They ought to do it. But they're going to cut off their nose to spite their face. And you know what? It's not even out of spite, I don't think. I think it's out of misguided, the idea that they're going to come out ahead politically. They think they're going to get more votes by doing this, but they're wrong. See, they don't really care about the dream. They don't care about anything. They just want to stay in power. They want to make some money. And they make money by staying in power. So what's going to happen is they're going to screw it up. Trump is very likely to win again in 2020 because the Democrats just are a terribly organized party. So this brings me to the next topic of what's this lady's name? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Now, you know, when she first started getting big and popular, I think I said that I was afraid of this lady, just like I'm afraid of Bernie Sanders and all of these far-left progressives. You know, sometimes they like to make fun of conservatives. They say, oh, they're afraid of her. Yeah, I am. I'm afraid of her. I think that people like her will destroy the country. All right? I really do believe that they're going to make everybody poorer. They're going to wipe out further the middle class. And they're going to create less jobs. They're going to force more companies to move out of the United States. They're going to incentivize welfare. And we're going to have even more people on the welfare rolls than we do already. And they're going to do everything they can to soak the rich. And I don't know how to tell you guys, but you can't get the rich. Okay, you cannot do it. They have money. They have mobility. Okay, they can leave the country anytime that they want to. They might not want to do that, but I'm saying it's within their means to do so. Whereas if you make things uncomfortable for somebody who's poor, they're not able to just pack everything up and ship out and buy a new home somewhere. Another thing is that, you know, how do the rich make money? They make money by charging you. You know, you buy things from Walmart. Walmart doesn't buy things from you. You buy from them. So if their profits are made smaller by the government and they want to make a certain amount of profit, well, they're going to raise the price so that their profit margins stay intact. You know, somebody who thinks that they're going to make money from a business rather than dumping all their money overseas or however they're going to use their money to make more money, if they think that business is worth it, you know, they'll grow the business. But if you make it harder for them to grow the business, they're not going to grow the business. It ain't tough. So the more you try to get the rich, the more you are screwing the middle class and the poor, really. You're screwing the poor because they are dependent on the government for sustenance. Democrats will never understand how much they hurt people with these programs that they pretend are for the poor. You know, I remember when Obama was in office and, you know, I have friends that are out of work and stuff. And he was teasing, I think he actually did end up passing this bill that was going to extend unemployment for like 11 months or something like that. And this one person says, you know, I'm going to look for a job. But first, I want to see if this bill passes. I mean, that's a normal mindset, right? If you're going to make money from doing nothing, then why would you do something and be a sucker? Yeah, some people have pride. I don't want to say that if somebody takes government assistance that they don't have pride. I think that they're taking it because it's there. But, I mean, some people will feel that it's not right to take government assistance and will make it harder, much harder sometimes on themselves in order to be able to say, well, I don't take government assistance. But some people will go, well, why am I working my butt off when I can make things a lot easier for myself? Right? You know, nobody saves money anymore. The Democrats believe that you can stimulate the economy just by spending more money. I mean, and this is Bush's fault too. This is what he said after 9/11. He says, go out and spend. You want to help the country? Go out and buy stuff. No, man, that's not how you grow an economy. If you just spend money on frivolous things, then you're not going to have money for when you actually need something. And then you're going to end up borrowing money. Let me ask you a question. Okay, just say that you lose your job. Are you gonna start spending money? No, you save money. You know, when the country has a recession, it sucks and it's painful. But, you know, after you save money for a little bit, the recession is over and you'll be okay. But what happens when we have a recession? We go, oh, wow, we're having a recession. Let's pull out the credit card and spend money that we don't have. And then we end up taking 10 years for things to get back to normal. You know, to a progressive, to a liberal at all, austerity is a bad word. Saving money to them is bad. They go, well, austerity hurts the poor. Everything hurts the poor. You know, if the country is doing well, they see the least benefit. If the country is doing badly, they get hit the worst. I mean, yes, it's true, but that doesn't mean that you don't do it, because you're hurting the poor worse in the long run. You know, if somebody's sick and you give them medicine, then the medicine tastes bad. You go, oh, I don't want to give you that bad tasting medicine. You know, I don't want you to suffer. They are suffering, and they're going to suffer way worse if you blow their money. So the liberals have caught wind of the fact that we don't have a gold standard, and that the money that we have is basically just printed out of thin air. So, you know, I think that somebody well-versed in economics would go, well, that's a bad thing. The potential for inflation is tremendous, and as you know, we have amazing inflation in this country. But to the liberals, they're going, well, since you can just print money, let's just do it. They, and I'm not kidding around, they want to actually purposely print more money for whatever needs any state might have, whatever needs any people might have. They actually want to just go ahead and print money. You know, there's a reason that counterfeiting is illegal, and it's because when you dump more currency into the marketplace, you are devaluing the currency that's already there, right? But they don't understand that. The liberals want public banks now. They're called public banks, but they're banks run by the state. They want the state running the bank. Look, guys, could it work? If the state is responsible and runs their bank like a business owner, yeah, I mean, it could work. It's possible. But the greater likelihood is that it's going to be badly run, and it's going to take public funds, and then it's going to create money and devalue currency. That's probably what's going to happen. So, these guys scare me, absolutely. And she just delivered an address on C-SPAN that was like the number one address. And, I worry about this stuff, because there's nothing easier than to promise the public free stuff and get elected off of that, right? I really do believe that people shouldn't vote unless they're over 35 and have had at least one job. So I'm sure this lady is going to run in 2024 or 2028. I'm sure she's going to run at some point. But I'll tell you what, I am looking forward to 2020, because we got all these far left progressives. We got not Ocasio-Cortez. We have Elizabeth Warren. We're probably going to get Bernie Sanders. We have people like Tulsi Gabbard. Kamala Harris, and there's going to be a huge fight between the far left progressives and the more moderate, the more establishment candidates, and they are going to kill each other with words. And when Trump gets to them, there's probably going to be nothing left of them. And I cannot wait to see the outcome of this. And guys, if Trump wins again, oh my goodness, that's going to be the greatest. To see the left meltdown again would just be unbelievable. Guys, I got to go. Thanks for joining me again this week. This has been the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the Ed Man. We'll do it again.